The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 16th of May, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It is Monday, the 16th. That means you have just joined another episode of The Bahamas, where we discuss all of the interesting and not so interesting things that took place in the country over the last week. Now, today my guest co-host, and for the rest of the week, if he can tolerate me, is Dr. Ancelino Davis.
Thank you. Thank you, Erin. And hello, Bahamas. Hello, world. Shout out to all my family and friends, Mexico, Australia, and China, and the United States that are listening in today.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis is a senior scientist and policy analyst at the Bahamas National Trust. And Sunday, the 22nd of May, that's coming Sunday, is International Day for Biological Diversity. And Dr. Davis is here to add a little biodiversity to On the Clock this week. Also, I think he realized that I have 1,000 biodiversity and diversity jokes lined up for you all this week. He can't miss out on the fun. But I'm glad to have you here. We got a lot of biodiversity things to talk about today and throughout the rest of the week.
Yes, biodiversity and climate change and the role of Bahamian people and professionals in conservation, especially at the Bahamas National Trust.
Yeah. I had so many conversations sort of organized to take place this week, but I couldn't miss out on biodiversity. So I said, let's bring in Dr. Davis so he can infuse our conversations and remind us of the spaces where what we're talking about intersects with climate change, biodiversity, environmentalism, and the world around us. Sometimes we act like we could just close our eyes. I mean, pretend. No, that's when we drive in. When we drive in, we act like we could just close our eyes and pretend like there's nothing happening on the road around us. So today, we're talking biodiversity, but we're also talking what's in the news. So let me tell you what I found interesting, the things that I think we need to talk about. That flooding Friday to Saturday and all through the weekend, we have to talk about that. I thought I was going to have some great news today. I thought I captured a merman. But by the time I got back to my tanks this week, the boy was gone. He's gone.
Well, you got me in office, and I'm one of the Bahamas resident mermen. And shout out to all the mermen, merwomen, merfolk out there, all of our marine researchers and biologists that are... Hopefully, we're getting inside the regular ocean and not trying to swim through all of this flooding to get to work today.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had you here to verify whether what I had caught was a man or just a very, very big grouper. They could be ugly. Oh, but they taste so good. So some of the things in the news. Big story, financial crimes unit says counterfeit bills are on the rise and giving advice on how to avoid being a target of counterfeits. COVID numbers are also on the rise. Vaccines are set to expire. I got a couple of questions about that. Some schools are reverting to virtual learning. The Ministry of Health and Wellness is inclined to mandate the return for government schools and all schools. The Grand Lucayan Deal... government has announced that it's agreed to a 120-day closing on the sale of Grand Lucayan to the Electra Hospitality Group. The Electra has committed, says that it's going to commit $5 million to community projects. And then East Grand Bahama MP Kwesi Thompson, in a statement, said that Grand Bahamians have heard sale announcements twice before and can no longer get excited. I just want to say you're a very, very brave man to say that out loud with your own mouth, Honorable MP Kwesi Thompson. It's almost as if you never represented the people in Grand Bahama in government before. Also, NBA news. I'm a little sad. I may have to get some tea or some napkins, some, you know, the things to cry, to dry your eyes. I don't know what happened, DeAndre. I don't know what happened to y'all the other night, but fortunately for y'all, we have 4 days between now and my sports show, so I may lose some of this petty I have building up inside of me because I didn't know. Dr. Davis, last week on my sports segment, I told my co-host, Eric Sawyer III, that I was dressed in my garb. I was ready to go play for the Suns because they looked like they needed help. And it turns out that I should have gone on the first flight to Phoenix to go play for them because I could have done better than that.
Man, yeah, and I've seen you on the parking court.
Yeah.
Right? I've seen your skills, and I've heard of your legendary skills in other fields. I'd like to see you take your position on that court.
But I could have done better. Look here. Me and Westbrook, that's the guy from the Lakers that only throw bricks. That's the guy that have LeBron on vacation in the Bahamas right now. Me and Westbrook and I would have done a far better job than what those gentlemen. The only question I have, and I hope you listen to Mr. Sawyer. The only question I have is, do you think that this was a protest? See, these players, they all remind me of Bahamians because they all do things Bahamians do. Like, you go on the job, the boy them upset you, it don't matter that this is the game to get you into the Western Conference Finals, you know. If we ain't on your run, we losing the game, King, by 40 points.
They can show up to work, but they just ain't going to do nothing.
Right.
All right.
And so to the next story on the list, like you say, we're going through the headlines. We're not necessarily going to touch on them all right now. Minister of National Security laments shortages, both in officers, staff, and in, the term he used was quote unquote lethal weapons. I think we just say in guns. But I was shocked. I'm still waiting to see confirmation in the paper. I didn't get to delve letter to letter, page to page on my way in this morning. But I'm almost certain I heard the minister say that they are looking to, in overall, they're short about 900 officers.
And right now, one of the issues that we're having with the climate change situation and everything, there are lots more people who are being displaced. Mm-hmm. So we have our family and friends from our family islands who are now in New Providence.
Yeah.
We have Bahamians who are no longer able to have gainful employment because after Hurricane Dorian, yeah, then you have COVID. Today, people can't get to work because of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
Students can't get to school, so parents have to take care of them at home and stuff like that. So climate change is a real issue, and this is going to affect the Ministry of National Security and every other ministry in the Bahamas. And this is something that we'll be talking about this week in terms of climate change and biodiversity and what it means for all Bahamians, and it's not just that dude is a scientist thing, so that's why he's thinking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try to relate it to our way of life in the Bahamas and our culture and communities.
Absolutely. Because I'm thinking, when I'm thinking about that question of shortages, right, I think about, well, who gets shorted, right? If you don't have enough officers I'm thinking also the connection with the increase in gang violence and gun violence, right? If you don't have enough officers to focus on the gang and gun violence, which is important, you need to focus on that, then what happens to your community policing initiative? What happens to your traffic enforcement? What happens to your commercial retail business protection, right? Strategies.
What happens to the environmental protection, right? And usually the environment takes the last seat on the bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't have enough officers to handle the violence, the thefts, the shootings, the car accidents, which are at the forefront of most people's minds. Then when it comes to things like poaching, illegal land clearing, illegal harvesting of sand, illegal dumping, we can't expect to have police officers to take notice of those things or to focus on those things when the public is clamoring for justice for their family and friends. And I'm not diminishing any of that, but the environment is something that we need to take care of now because it's going to sustain us in the future. And so we want to engage more with the Bahamas Police Force, the Defense Force. Come out and visit us. You can get memberships. You can join us at the Bahamas National Trust and learn more about the environment. And a lot of these things keep kids out of these negative activities if they can join that.
And not just that, like, I wonder if policymakers, particularly at Ministry of National Security, see in the sort of developed world the expansion of ideas and strategies in terms of peacekeeping, community policing, citizen security, and citizen safety, and the inclusion of the idea that safe and clean environments, safe spaces for young people, right, protect them and give them spaces away from more negative influences or elements. So look, yes, you got the park, and yes, some of the unemployed men or the underemployed men, and they sit on the park and they smoke. But we also know that you got this part of the park that the young kids could go into and be away from the road, be away from those people, and sort of have fun in a slightly isolated but still public space that's safe for them. There's no dumping. You're not going to find used contraceptives and empty beer bottles and cigarette packs in that space, right?
Yeah, and it's... There is a distinction between the public parks and public beaches that are managed by the Ministry of Environment or Department of Environmental Health Services, who are taking care of those things in the public arena. And then there are the national parks that are managed by the Bahamas National Trust, or held in trust for the Bahamian people. And these areas, it's not just to have a safe space, but to have a safe future, because you're thinking about young children and even adults. You come into a national park like Bonefish Ponds and you learn about how the fish there are tied to the coral reefs and tied to the fishing communities and what you eat and how they can be affected by pollution and how we're protecting them. And then you actually get to go and snorkel in there and see these fish. And so that's all.
I can't snorkel in there and see the fish. I can get jealous. I can be like, buddy, so you telling me I can't catch you?
Well, not while it's in the park.
Right.
So when we protect them inside the park, they get bigger. And the bigger a fish is, the more babies it could have. The bigger a lobster is, the more babies it could have. So then you go outside the park and you have more fish, more lobster, more conch. So that's what we're going for. So it's like, we're getting this bank account of biodiversity inside the parks, and that's what the Bahamas National Trust is doing, so that you could draw on that interest that's paying outside the park. So we're talking about a little bit of financial security.
So I go invest some conch. Let me go out down there and go invest a couple $100 in some conch, so that in the future I'll know that I am responsible for at least $100,000 worth of conch because I let it grow.
It doesn't even cost $1,000. You could get a membership for your whole family to the Bahamas National Trust for less than $100.
Yeah.
And four people for the whole year, you could go into all the national parks for free. So go look on BNT.BS.
Yeah, you ain't got no song. Say Bahamians love free things. Hey. Okay? Because I like that. I like that very much. And for people who are tightening their budgets, have to explain to children and dependents, look, economically, we're making shifts. We got to make sacrifices. This is something that you could do. And this is something that you could do together and grow the family unity, because that's the sort of trust. That's the space where you build that trust for the family to move forward together.
Right. And this is something where you're not in an event where you have to be focusing on that. you're out experiencing the environment together where you could have that conversation with your daughter, your son, your wife, and actually talk through the things that y'all need to do, experience yourselves together.
Yeah.
And it costs about 19 cents a day if you go every day.
Yeah,
right.
Wow.
19. So if you get your membership this year and just go whenever the parks are open, that's like 19 cents a time for the whole family, not just for one person.
Employers, look here. When you settling out these bonuses this year, right? I know you all getting your budgets together. Put in your budget, right? Whatever the cash budget is, we can match that with a membership to BNT, family membership.
You can
BNT.
Actually get corporate memberships. So we're not even talking about the families paying for it themselves, but a corporate membership. And this shout out to the Guardian for and Guardian Radio for having us here. But maybe all of your Guardian staff could be members of the Bahamas National Trust through a corporate membership or a corporate sponsorship, and think about what that would look like.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could change the Bahamas if we have, you know, all of these Bahamians in different organizations, Toastmasters, Rotary, joining, getting a membership and actively becoming engaged, learning about the environment and what they can do.
And let me tell you all something, parents. Remember when our parents used to make us sit on the side porch and watch ZNS and everything was in black and white and that was just your day and that was your life? Well, look at the new things you could experiences you could provide for your children, especially when you're mad at them and you want to punish them. We go into the park. And we go into the park every day, and we're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And I bet you they're going to love it. And at the end of the day, you're going to love it too.
Yeah, some of them are going to complain because they don't have their iPod and stuff like that. But then at the end of the day, they can be like, Mommy, could we go to the park, please?
Right. And then you let them use the data, but for the apps to help you identify plants and fish and things like that, right?
Yes, and we actually have the field guide to the natural history of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
It's on sale at the Bahamas National Trust. And this is an excellent book for your students, all my science teachers. Give us a shout. You can email science@bnt.bs. And you can actually get this book, have it in your classroom, and teach people about our Bahamian plants and biodiversity, our Bahamian animals, instead of elephants and kangaroos. That used to annoy me so much. I never saw an elephant or a kangaroo except at the circus back in the day.
Yeah,
and then when we used to eat it for the food festival, right?
Yeah.
We used to eat kangaroo. But we need to talk about turbot and grouper and
schoolmaster and spicy conch, screw conch, spicy conch.
Yeah.
The conch that we should be eating instead of the queen conch. Now, last week, I told you all, I'm not a snitch. I just tell you things I see in the road. So I'm going to tell you all again. I'm not a snitch. I just tell you all things I see in your pot. You should not be making stew conch, steam conch with queen conch. If you don't know how to turn a screw conch, that's the conch, it's hard to come out the shell and it's tough and you got to pressure cook it. If you can't make delicious melt in your mouth stew conch or conch stew from that screw conch or the non-traditional conch, then you are not a chef and I am snitching on you. And that's just what it is, because that's why our queen conch is at risk of being depleted and we're losing it because us lazy, and I count myself in that, us lazy and unexperienced chefs that don't have the old traditional techniques to make the thing taste like the thing, we go for these little cheap tricks and gimmicks, and one of those is taking the queen conch, bruising it, and then scalding it dead quick, and then throwing it back in the steam. But the queen conch can't tolerate that. We need something different.
So now, as we're talking about biodiversity and protection and conservation, the queen conch issue is a significant one. When we look at our neighbors, Cuba, Jamaica, Florida, they no longer have a queen conch industry, a viable industry. Mm-hmm. So it's called economically extinct. So they cannot actually catch enough for them to be able to support an industry anymore.
Uh-huh.
And that's the direction that we're headed with our conch. So I recently had my second conch meal. I can only have three a year. That's my personal choice.
Yeah.
But we need to start thinking about this more in the Bahamas.
I want to send a shout out to Orchid Burnside, who started her a similar personal campaign. And I encourage her to shame me every time she look at me and think I eat conch. But, you know, she's decided I'm not going to eat it. because it needs to be protected. And the only way we could do that is to show people the sacrifices we're willing to make in our personal lives, right? That we're willing to do it. But I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. I was not talking about you specifically when I was talking about lazy, uninspired chefs. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
I eat conch.
Measured in moderation, sir, in moderation.
And I used to eat turtle.
Okay.
Before the Americans said I couldn't eat turtle. But
yes,
I am going to Atlanta to tell them to stop killing Bambi. And let's see how that goes over.
You mean the venison?
Hunters. That's right. How dare they come here and tell me what I can't do? You know what caveman did?
Well, remember that deer in the United States can be invasive in some areas. And they can cause other problems.
So
it's not likely that they're going
to
run deer extinct.
Simply said, we are going to farm turtle. And 50% of the turtle will go back in the ocean to replenish the turtle. 50% will be slaughtered for food and turtle shell jewelry. You now bump into turtles. But how dare someone who makes fast food tell me that I should not be eating my seafood? And instead, one of the biggest atrocities, I want to let both of you know, is that people I follow on YouTube, and I'll send you the links, are sailing my country from Florida Keys, and they're eating conch salad, and they're laughing. We can't do this back at home. We have to use some seafood ceviche, but we're having conch ceviche. And I'm so upset when I see for a few $100s, you can spend 6 months in my country eating tens of thousands of dollars worth of seafood. We should tell everybody, you could come to the Bahamas, you get a cruising permit, but you better hire a Bahamian fisherman guide for $600 a day if you're going to go and catch anything to eat. And the limit will be X amount of fish, 1, 2, whatever it is for your meal, and that's it. This lining off your boat with my conch and my fish is a joke. God gave us, Aaron, we got 100,000 square miles of ocean and land. God gave us more conch than we could ever shake a stick at a few 100,000 people. But the problem is we're allowing the rest of the world to come and rape our resources. How come Cuba doesn't have a conch shortage?
They
you know
do. They no longer have an economic industry of conch. So just make sure that we clarify that.
So
also, a bank account doesn't
conch.
Get full.
Do not
a stomach
allow
does.
The exportation of the conch any longer. Stop exporting it. If someone wants to taste my conch,
they got to come here to get it.
I agree with this call.
That's the best thing Aaron ever said. I love you for that, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you, Graham. Thank you. Let's go to this next call, and then I'm going to talk about whether we need to turn the whole country into a national park. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
How you doing?
Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
You know, I'm always controversial, right? Ms. Green, I don't know about you, but I appreciate your sense of humor and your critique. Get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to any park after dark.
Uh-huh.
And the Big Pond Park is inglorious. There's garbage all over the place. So maybe the Minister of Environment, whoever prerogative it is, mm-hmm. just deal with it. You know what I mean? It's inglorious. And I'd like to thank Graham for that sentiment. I share the same sentiment because I'm in my 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to stop eating my conch. I ain't telling a lie. I eat conch at least once a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Graham brought a very interesting perspective. You know, we look at the square miles of the Bahamas, right?
Uh-huh.
The archipelago. And the government knows that they don't have the ability to secure and police these waters. So we're being raped. Graham highlighted a number of scenarios that occur with the oligarchs and the rich people sailing our oceans. And they're obviously doing what they feel like, all right? So even with the coral in the disease that's running through the coral reefs, nobody wants to point fingers at the cruise industry or just unscrupulous fishing methods, right? And so in the States, there's something called abalone. It's like a conch. I know it's a mollusk.
Yeah.
And the government protects that. And so if you have to get certain permits to do these things. So if we are running out of conch, don't tell me with a minuscule population that we can still be exporting conch.
Right.
And then you're trying to deny me. I grew up eating conch. So, you know, the thing is, man, Aaron, you know, we need to get together as a people. Our marine resources, the government is being non-clairvoyant.
I get you. I understand entirely. There needs to be a massive, massive uptake of organization at the NGO, civil society, and community level. But also, listen, I need my creatives and my people who call themselves entrepreneurs and influencers to, I need you, I begging you, I asking you to sort of shift your focus. Because just sitting here in this show, I thought about how much money it can cost me to get a mandolin. That's one of them machines to shave things dead thin. Like fancy people get the truffles. Truffles cost $1 billion. Pigs is snout them out from the ground. But I'm going to get one of those fancy mandolins. And when I get my little spicy conch industry going, I join in to put the queen conch down. And I'm going to mandolin the screw conch so thin.
So people have to pay for like this conch paper, basically.
But then you could eat it in salad. You could recreate that experience that you want. At the same time, not eating. Because listen,
that sounds so bougie to me right now.
But see, but it sounds bougie, but guess what? You just cut on mandolin.
No, it's good.
Salty sausage. Salty sausage is cut on mandolin. Yeah, yeah. Right?
That's what we need to do with our conch, though. And all of our callers are saying, like, don't tell me I can't eat my conch. And that is never what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're saying is eat it responsibly.
Right.
I want my children to be able to taste conch. I never said that I stop eating conch. I respect Orchid for her choice, but I do like conch. I like a conch salad,
yeah.
Right? I like stew conch. But remember, a conch takes 4 years to reproduce. So if we beating it bad this year, if we killing the baby conchs before they could reproduce, if we're killing the conch before they could find a partner in the ocean, and we're killing them so there's so few of them, they can't find a partner ever, we will not know that our conch industry was destroyed for 4 years.
Right. And then it'll be too late.
And it's going to be another government.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And you thinking about all of these things, it doesn't work out for us.
Yeah. Looking at my belly, I going down to the dock. Looking for spicy conch, though. And I say, put it out there to all the fishermen. Look here. If you don't know about it, learn about it. And investigate the viability of creating a new industry. I got another caller on the line, and then we got to go to a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron.
Good morning.
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 You know, Central, the police at Central got to stop. Some of them got to stop.
Brayman, I'm sorry. We're not having that discussion right now. I don't know what direction you were going in. But if you say they need to stop ordering all the conch salad from off the dock before we regular people could get there, I agree with you.
Oh, Lord.
Dear people with privilege of any kind, don't use your privilege to enjoy the things that regular Bahamians cannot enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that's what you was talking about, Brayman. We'll get back to that at another time.
Yeah. But as we go to the break, I just want to remind everyone, you know, reach out to the Bahamas National Trust, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and send a message. Let them know that you heard about us today on the clock with Aaron Green. So we're actually tracking that data.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah,
so
yeah.
we can know how many of you are listening out there and interested in this, the conservation and protection of our natural resources.
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get to these texts. And then I got some questions on flooding. Where were you in the great flood of May 2022? But stay tuned to Guardian Radio. We'll be right back on the clock.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you. Play this record as frequently as possible.
Friday, May 20th, it's time to feel good.
It's Star Wars 6 and Four Walls.
Feel Good Friday.
Classic.
The Star 106 Anniversary Edition.
Happening at the Four Walls Squash and Social Club Village Road.
It's the after work.
I got so
early vibes.
Vintage.
Block party.
Exclusively for the grown and sexy.
With the best in throwback classics.
Happening at the new outdoor terrace bar at Four Walls.
Limited tickets on sale now at the Nassau Guardian and Four Walls for $20 in advance.
Come out early to enjoy the open room bar from 5 to 6 p.m.
This is a strictly cashless party.
So bring your old school dancing moves with your new school payment options.
Feel Good Fridays. Friday, May 20th.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green and Dr. Ancelino Davis, who is a senior scientist and policy analyst at Bahamas National Trust and is my co-host for this week to add some biodiversity to On the Clock. So let me read these texts and then I got to get to these questions. Okay. So first text says, the first time I ever heard about conch shortage was 2 years after that restaurant opened in Florida. Cause and effect.
As human beings, we have a tendency to look at one villain or one cause and one action that we can do. It's not like that. It's a whole host of problems, a bunch of suppliers and fishers and community people that we have to educate everyone at the same time.
A part of my research say maybe we should tell these people to wash their feet before they go in the ocean. Could dirty foot and toe jam, because... Here's what I'm saying. Biodiversity.
That's actually valid, though. That's actually valid. You could go to a polluted site, a site that has stony coral tissue loss disease, and then you get on your boat and you drive to another healthy site, and then you go in the water there. And if you didn't disinfect your fins and your scuba gear and your snorkeling equipment, you could actually carry the disease from one location to another. And it's just like COVID. You could do as great a job as you want, but you have that one family member who don't believe it or don't care or had it and didn't tell anybody, and they come inside your house and they touching your dishes and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Another text: the tourists are not our problem when it comes to the conch. We Bahamians are the problem.
Just about every week or every time I talk about the conch issue, I will have a Bahamian that will reply to me, man, I eat conch every week and I'd eat it every day if I could afford it. And part of the reason that we can't afford it now, I remember when a conch salad was $5.
Listen, I remember when you could go on a date on the Potoski dock for $15, two people, conch salad, avocado, pink grapefruit.
And a Vitamalt.
Yes, and one click and one Vitamalt.
Yeah,
Vitamalt for the driver.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, but that's a big issue that we have now. Bahamians do hit the conch hard, but we export a lot of them, and it isn't easy to regulate to make sure that people are harvesting adult conch.
Right.
That's the big issue right now.
That's a big problem. And it's something that is going to require organization, right? I'm not going to get mad at that small fisherman or conch man who is either trying to retain a dying business, right? Or pick up where the family left off or move to Nassau and trying to do a thing.
Or really even subsistence fishing. Because I live in Adelaide, and during COVID, people were fishing and they were crabbing, and that's how they were eating after that first lockdown.
Yeah.
And then you had Mother's Day and Father's Day. You want to do your crab and rice and stuff. But when climate change don't care who you are, and mm-hmm. when you don't take care of the resource, everyone's going to get hit.
Mm-hmm. Another text says that's why the government should increase the fines for these yachts poaching while cruising our waters. Allow inspectors on these boats when they enter, or rather while out to sea. Well, my concern is that
our legislation allows for that now. So a fisheries officer can actually board any vessel in the Bahamas. And if they have defense force officers, they could basically go with them. The Bahamas National Trust, we have limited authority to our national parks. But those are also written into the law. And the Bahamas National Trust is unique in our ability to maintain and manage the national parks of the country.
Right.
So worldwide, we're special in that regard.
Man, look here, why y'all send all these texts in? Okay, give me a second. I come into the text right now.
Bahamians love conch. As soon as we start talking about conch,
but
we gotta
protect
it.
Right, these, they want to make sure that they still have it. The people aren't there like, I could just eat it till it died out. No, they want to know. They want you to know, I want to eat it. So how are we going to make sure I could always eat it? But I wanted us to talk about the flooding, right? But we can make this link right here. And we can go back. Texas, I come into you. I ain't got this here. The flooding showed us that we are not prepared for water. We are not prepared for the high water. Even though we're living on an island, the fact that a lot of us don't swim is a good indicator, but this, we are not prepared for the water, right? And I, on the political side, I want to say, I think that there's been a deliberate policy to shift us to cars on a 21x7 island in an archipelago. But if we do shift this culture back to boat ownership, then we would be in a better place. Like, a culture rooted in boat ownership versus car ownership puts us in a better position to be able to patrol or to support or to participate in the patrolling and protection of our waters and our marine environments, right?
And you could, you might not need to go full boat, but you could come and experience some kayaking tours and bonefish ponds. You could learn how to kayak or canoe or whatever like that and experience the natural environment. And also, when you have that kayak in your backyard, next time we have some flooding like this, you could still go and see your neighbor.
Go take them a couple little supplies. But you take Ziploc bag up, right? And so one of the questions that I have about flooding is, are we prepared to make those shifts? And I just want to say to everybody,
PAHO is coming tomorrow, right?
Right.
We're going to talk about emergency preparedness, right?
Hurricane preparedness and disaster preparedness. I want to tell everybody, make an investment in Ziploc bags. Listen, make an investment. It may start small. Tell the people in your house, this ain't no pion play thing. This is for documents. This is for keeping things safe and during flooding. This is for taking things to your neighbor, because you got elderly neighbors and you got to take care of them.
And double up. I just invested in a bunch of those Rubbermaid containers.
Yeah.
And so those containers that keep your flour fresh.
Right.
If they could keep that moist air out, they could keep your documents safe for at least a little while
until
they're submerged. Or at least have them float around so you could see them.
Right.
You understand?
You could make...
It's sad that we're having this conversation, but really climate change is real. And although you'll have parents who will tell you, it always is flood in this area, the flooding wasn't that high or it's not that frequent. But now it's getting worse.
Man, look here, I got a text here. I just want to say good morning, texter, and I would like to thank you for this text. I don't understand why you see this relationship as one of conflict. I welcome and appreciate when you bring these things to my attention. I was overwhelmed with the flooding, climate change, discussion, this conversation about diversity. I think, those things took my focus, but thank you for reminding me that today is the International Day of the Boy Child. If it is, I can go and verify that. It is?
Yes, today is the International Day of the Boy Child. And I definitely like to recommend that all Bahamians reach out to your local organizations, conservation organizations. A lot of times we think that boys like have too much energy and they need to get out and stuff like that. That's what the national park's for. But also, there's a lot of opportunities for them to learn science, for them to connect with, to connect what you want them to do with the environment.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a doctor, physical therapist, get your people outside. If you want to be running around, jumping, doing parkour and stuff like that,
yeah,
do that in a national park.
And look here, here's what I want. Because I think this tradition may be rooted in the Greek community and their presence in the Bahamas. But imagine that the International Day of the Boy Child and Biodiversity Day all fall like in the same week. And don't little boys like to go to Prince George Wharf and jump and flip and dive into the ocean for quarters? And ain't it true that they can't do that unless the ocean is clear and pristine and clean? Otherwise, they can't see the pennies and the coins on the bottom.
You ever been in a foreign country and they say, hey, you know, let's go to the beach?
I almost get kicked out of every country I've been to because they would say some madness. I'd have to pull out my passport and say, listen, on the page it say, I'm not allowed by law to go into that water unless I could see the bottom of it.
I admit, because I'm a scientist, like I've gone and I've dove into these creeks and rivers and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it give you the heebie-jeebies when you can't see it. You don't know what inside there.
Listen, I went to Guyana. Beautiful, a land of 1,000 lakes or rivers, of 1,000 rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be a million rivers. And I've been to Suriname in the rainforest in a village called Gunzi Village. And those two places where I broke the Bahamian rule. That's going to water in your country. Don't watch nothing. But I even took off my surf shoes. Took off my water shoes.
No.
And I touched the bottom of the river barefoot. Because in the Suriname River, they have a type of piranha. Not the type that is eat you up. The type that is nibble on your feet and pretend like you fancy, like in a spa.
Oh, like them fish pedicures.
Yes, there you go. It was something slightly like that. So I took off my feet.
You get shoes. That right here?
Where?
We could
that's
talk.
That's what you've been doing on Morning You Dog?
What you mean? I do that right out of the lid?
What?
Yes, man. You go and sit inside the creek and let them fish just like clean you up a little bit. I have the softest feet of any scientist I know. And I know all of my friends in beings are going to be cracking joke on me right now. But we could talk about that.
Absolutely. Let me get back to the text line. It says, great show as usual. People have given up cocaine before they gave up eating conch. We Bahamians need conch because that's our secret weapon during the Olympics. Okay. So what you're telling me is Jamaica has what you call the yellow yam. And I think is it like the progesterone or something in the yellow yam that's grown in Jamaica that they are attributing to the power dynamics of their sprinters and the track athletes.
Well,
right?
That's interesting because we have very few Bahamians who are on the Olympic level compared to these other countries, right? But we have a very high per capita medal rate. But when you look at international movement, it's actually illegal to ship conch without a special permit because conch is CITES listed, Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, because conch is endangered.
Okay. I could freeze some.
You could only take one.
Only one conch?
You could only take one. So you have to choose which medal you want to win.
Okay, yeah. Nobody. a lot of us didn't know you could only take one conch. Dear U.S. Customs and Border Control, turn off your radio right now. I just want to say something about the U.S. But thank you for that. It's good. You need to know. You need to know. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
It might be more.
Right.
But
so I could take a couple of conch up, or a big conch from Marijuana up for my sister to make crack conch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell y'all something because I love y'all. Right? Don't never doubt my love, especially you, Texas. I don't want you to never doubt my love for you. Here's how you travel with conch. So that you could make your conch salad.
Do I need to step out of this room?
No.
Okay.
No. Here's how you travel with conch so you could make your conch salad when you arrive at your destination. You're going to freeze the conch. That's how you got to travel with it frozen.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take out the sand sack.
Now you're exporting sand too? What?
No, that's a part of the internal system of the conch. And that's all I'm going to say. If you don't take out the sand sack.
You know, a lot of people don't know about that conch biology.
Yeah.
We have the Bahamas National Trust has been a longtime partner with BREEF, Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation, and they have a lot of educational material about the conch. You know that pistol?
Yeah.
That don't have nothing to do with reproduction. That's actually inside the conch's stomach. That's like a pestle and mortar.
Yeah.
Where it actually grinds up this algae so that the conch could digest it. I know I just ruined a whole bunch of people.
No, but I mean, see, that makes... Okay, Texas, I come in Texas. That makes sense to me, right? Because they say I used to be able to eat a conch salad and run half a mile. I mean, not half a mile, half an island. Yeah. I still can't run half a mile. Half an island. The amount of energy from raw conch. And so somebody said, yeah, when the conch is raw, the enzyme that helps it break down, right, it makes it more digestible, is still functioning. So when you eat it raw, it's a cleaner meal, right? It's a cleaner meal. But, wow, what I know is this, is that pistle and conch itself tastes like Bahamian sea moss, because Bahamian conch eats sea moss. So if you're vegan and you really are like, hey, but you're carrying on like, I can't be a Bahamian if I don't eat conch, I've got an alternative for you, because the sea moss replicates the texture of the conch.
Yeah, and the flavor of the conch. Have algin that what we use to make agar and jellies and stuff that for vegan industries.
So we use it
so
like
it has
a carrageenan.
That chewy type feel. Yeah. Carrageenan is another type of chemical.
That's how scientists say it. Boy, if I sell my product and I call it carrageenan, y'all know it can cost $5 extra. Yeah. That's like somebody came to my market and they wanted an aubergine.
The aubergine.
They wanted an aubergine.
They didn't want eggplants.
No, so I tell them aubergine is $3. So she called her husband, tell him to come pay for it. So he say, oh, how much for the eggplant? I say, $1. So she look at me like, what? You cutting up with my husband? I say, no, miss. Aubergine is fancy and it costs $3. But if you want a regular eggplant, you could get that for $1. Right.
That's why, like, when people come into a restaurant and they order conch, you have to charge
pay extra
them more.
For the extra syllable. Right. And, like that. You can pay for that.
Yeah. Yes. And that's how you could distinguish. I know there's some other cultures where they really persecute people for pronouncing words differently.
Yeah.
But I mean, our conch need our support. In fact,
I am a proponent of charging foreigners, visitors, tourists more for certain things than you would charge your citizen. Just because we are a small island developing state. It's a very, it's a controversial idea. I went to Cuba, my first trip, and I was so excited because I was balling. I look at my wallet and I was like, I'm balling. I'm going to be a baller in Cuba. Mango, mango, mango every day. And then when I got to Cuba, there was a separate rate for non-Cubans. And I do not look like a, I mean, I look like a Cuban, but I don't dress like a Cuban. And people knew right away that I was not a Cuban. And I don't speak Spanish. That also gave it away, obviously.
Well, at the Bahamas National Trust, we have like different rates for membership. And you have student membership. And I neglected to mention this earlier, but your students could get an even lower rate. So talk to your Environmental Pride Club, your Scouts, your Girl Guides, your Boys Brigade. Let's get them into the Bahamas
Absolutely.
National Trust.
Okay, let me get to these texts. Aaron, why is it okay to blame Bahamians outright and not the Haitians? I'm going to be honest with you, Texter. I missed the... I don't remember. But because Haitians call it Lambie. We don't have a Lambie shortage here. We have a conch shortage here. And that's why we don't blame Haitians.
And that's not... That's a different discussion. Like, how do you determine who's coming into the restaurant? If the restaurant is owned by a certain group of people, or if the fishery is dominated by a certain group of people, for you to get an export license, you most likely a Bahamian exporting, millions of pounds of conch. And really, if you see someone eating a baby conch, I don't care if you Bahamian or if you Haitian or if you Dominican or if you are alien from another planet. Don't eat my baby conch.
Yeah.
And don't eat my lobster out of season.
Because you may not see it now. You may not see the impact of the absence of that conch now. But we have no idea. In the same way that we have no idea what the aragonite provides for our archipelago, for the region, for the world. What I know about aragonite is I stood on islands, I stood on rocks that did not exist when Christopher Columbus sailed through the Bahamas, because those rocks were made of uitic sand, which is rapid land formation. Slow land formation. My friend from Mayaguana, her grandfather had to rebuild the dock twice. Not because the water rose and covered it, but because the land outgrew the dock. We got rapid land formation in Mayaguana. And so one of the questions I had for you was, what is the most biodiverse environment or habitat in the Bahamas? But I can leave you with that for research, and I can do my research, because the bush by my house have to be the most biodiverse habitat in the country. It have to be.
So I'll give you some homework, and Bahamian public, go on to the BNT website and look at the Andrus Westside National Park. And that is amazing.
I lost a shoe in there. My shoe got to be reproducing other shoes in there by now.
It probably has some stuff growing on it even right now, adding to the biodiversity.
Absolutely. And I will say this just as we're about to go, because I got to clean up. I got a text that says, Ms. Green, don't export that sand. That leads to jail time. Thank you, producer. Apparently designing drains requires brains, because these drains were made with no strains. Look here. Thank you, Texter. Thank you for that. Do you know that the reason that scientists are in the Bahamas speculating on oil is because of the west side of Andrus, sir? Anyway, that's more for us to talk about tomorrow. Now, Paho is joining us tomorrow to talk about hurricane preparedness and disaster preparedness. But we're going to start the class by answering that question, the most diverse habitat in the Bahamas.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, Bahamas. Thank you for all our listeners around the world. And I look forward to joining the conversation again tomorrow on the clock with Aaron Green.
Absolutely. And you guys stay tuned, because Indira Fitzgerald is hosting Guardian Radio AM this morning. And that means you're going to have a good time. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.